We'd like to start, everybody. The North Miami Beach Community Kollel welcomes everybody here for the our Bein HaMetzarim 3-week symposium. We first like to ask everybody to please shut off your cell phones, at least put it on vibrate for Kavod HaTorah. Tonight's sponsors is partially sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Matz, in memory of the yahrzeit of Mrs. Matz's brother, Yehoshua ben Rafal. Maybe zechet olich gan Eden. There's also another sponsor tonight, an anonymous donor who's filled with hakaras hatoiv for the inspiration that he has received over the past 10 months from the Rosh Kollel, from the Yungalite, and he wants to express his hakaras hatoiv by honoring the Yungalite with his sponsorship. And there's a third sponsorship tonight, which is sponsored by the Yungalite in honor of our Rosh Kollel, some of you may know, some may not know, about how much and how hard the Rosh Kollel works tirelessly every single day, day in, day out, to make sure the Kollel is running smoothly, bein beruchnius, bein begashmius, and we'd like the Rosh Kollel to know our Hakaras HaTorah for giving us the Menuchas HaNefesh to continue, that we can continue steiging and be Yom HaVatorah. Our guest speaker tonight is as always Rabbi Shapiro, the Rav of the Kehillah Shaarei Tefillah, and we would like to start off by thanking the congregation Shaarei Tefillah and the officers of Shaarei Tefillah for opening the doors of the shul and for allowing us the opportunity to use the facilities to be Marbetz Torah to the community, and of course a special thank you to Rabbi Shapiro for always being there for the Kollel and for the Yungalite. The title tonight is The Torah's Perspective of the Churban. May we be zeicha to be inspired. May we be zeicha to kol raya, kol mesabu Yerushalayim, zeicha v'raya b'necha masa.
V'rushus t'choshev v'roish ha'koyel shlita. Approaching the 9 days, my father's atzal was very fond of a maisa that he once heard from a person, a chaver of mine, Rabbi Alex Charlap, and he told him with this lashon, that it was kedai your whole existence, and it was kedai poshet to have met you just to be able to overhear the maisa that you just told. And he told my father the following maisa, that a number of years ago, someone came to Moron Rashke Bahagar of Shach, and he had said to Rav Shach, as the 9 days were approaching, he wanted to know if a particular type of shower was permitted during the 9 days. And he started to ask with all of the nuances and the pitchifkas and the details, if I take it like this and I take it like that. And Imamish started, because he really wanted to know if a particular shower was permitted or not. And Rav Shach stopped him somewhere in the middle of this entire litany of this shower versus that shower, and he said, before I answer you la halacha, whether this is or isn't permitted, I don't know. Aber ein zach vesech. In ernster ovel kemenish gefrek di shailas. Somebody who was really mourning and who had just buried a mother or just buried a father never bothered me and never came to me with those types of questions. It's crystal clear, my father was telling us, that to some level we definitely are not margish the avelus and the magnitude of the loss that the 3 weeks bring with them. My father's atzal knew a yid in Eretz Yisrael in the years that he lived there in Tavshin Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. This yid had a minhag, a custom, that every Erev Shabbos Kodesh he would go into a Moicher Svarim and he would purchase a brand new sefer. We're talking about an Alta Yid who had absolutely no money, very little money, and yet his Oinig Shabbos was fulfilled when he went ahead and he bought every Erev Shabbos Kodesh a new sefer. Stam, if you just think about the story that I just said, not even in the context of tonight's symposium, but of being machshiv life in general, it's such a beautiful hargosha that a yid says, my oinig Shabbos comes from a new sefer that he learned each and every week. And finally, it was Erev Shabbos Chazoin, and he goes and he asks for a particular new kinnis that came out with a pirish on it, and the fellow quotes him a price. And he tells my father that when he quoted me the price, I started to haggle and I started to fight the price. And the Moichus Svarim says to me, Reb Yid, for years you're buying hundreds of Shabbosais, hundreds of Svarim, and you never once argue. And now, Erev Shabbos Chazoin, Erev Tishu B'Av, now you decide to argue? Now you're going to go ahead and tell me the price is too exorbitant? He says, of course, because every time I buy a Sefer from you, I use it, and I use it hundreds of times. But I'm buying a kinnis from you. I'll use it at most once, and then afterwards, who's using it again? So for a chad ta'ami, you want me to go ahead and pay the price that you're asking? People understood, Vaistais, that you're really in Avelus during the 3 weeks. I once heard magnificently that if you analyze the Avelus of the 3 weeks, there are five levels of Avelus. It happens to be that the five levels of Avelus that one is in, Nebuch, no one should ever know from it, when they lose a parent, are five levels in decreasing order. You first have the Yom HaMisa, and after the Yom HaMisa, you have the first 3 days of Shiva, then the next few days of Shiva until Shiva's completed, then till the Shleishim, and then until Yud Beis Chodesh. So you actually have five levels of Avelus for a parent who passes away, but they go from the Yom HaMisa down a notch and a level in a decreasing fashion. Masha'in came when it comes to the five levels of Avelus of the 3 weeks, they're in an increasing fashion. You start from the lowest level, and each step of the way, the noose gets tightened more and more. You start with Shivasar B'Tammuz, and the next level is, of course, that which we're approaching, Rosh Chodesh Av. After that, you have Shvua Shechal by Tisha B'Av. After that, you have Erev Tisha B'Av, and then the Yom HaMisa itself, Tisha B'Av. So it's interesting to note, I heard this from Rav Revda, he points out that the five levels when it comes to a parent, they're both five levels. We have to be Margish the Avelus. But when it comes to a parent, it's in decreasing order. Mashen came when it comes to the Avelus of the Beis HaMikdash. It goes from Shivasa to Rosh Chodesh, to Shua Shechalboi, to Erev Tisha B'Av, to the Yom HaMisa itself. They are in increasing, intensified levels. I once heard a beautiful pshat that might put tonight's symposium in proper perspective. The Gemara says that the reason, one of the reasons we lost Eretz Yisrael and we still suffer till today, Al Ozvum Es Teirasi, you forsook my Torah. You didn't cling tenaciously to my Torah, and as a result, you blew it. So I once heard an incredible pshat, Hagamitz Al Pi Drush, but there's a great, great lesson to be taken out over here. If you think of the five levels of Avelus, and what they bring in intensified mourning onto us. First we have the 3 weeks that begin with Shivasar B'Tammuz. What happens when the 3 weeks start? On Shivasar B'Tammuz, we all know, that's when chasanas have to stop. You can no longer get married. When you start the second level of Avelus, which is of course Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, we know Chazal tell us, Mishenichnas Av, Mimatin B'simcha, the joy is decreased. The third level of Avelus of Shvua Shechalboi, we know that it's brought down Hagam that we don't eat Basar for all of the 9 days. The Beis Yosef brings down those who don't eat Basar beginning Shvua Shechalboi Tishu B'Av. The fourth level of Avelus of Erev Tishu B'Av is already Erev Tishu B'Av. Avelus is indicated by the fact I don't want you going for a pleasure stroll. I don't want you going for a leisurely walk. And what is Tisha B'Av itself? Pashut, it's Asur and Limud HaTorah. Most sections of Torah you're not allowed to learn except for those that bring about Bechiyas and those that speak about Tisha B'Av, Eicha and Kinnas. Five levels of Avelus in ascending order, from not being able to get married, to diminishing joy, to not being able to eat meat, to not taking a pleasure stroll, to not being able to learn. That's the pshat. If you forsake the Torah, you'll suffer these five intensified levels of Avelus. We have Chamishei Chumshei Torah. If one thinks about what Sefer Bereishis is all about, Primarily, it's the marriages and the zivugim of our avos, imois, and the shiftei ka. It sets the foundation for Knesset Yisrael. If one thinks about Sefer Shemois, there's no Sefer that has more intensified joy. Shemois is all about Kriyas Yamsuf, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Maimon Har Sinai, Kabbalas HaTorah. Is there any joy greater than those I just mentioned? Sefer Vayikra might very well be uptouched by our calling Sefer Vayikra, where we talk about all the karbonos that a yid brings. Sefer Bamidbar might be touched by the Sefer that we talk about, the Membeis Masois, the travel of the yid. And Devarim is, of course, known as Mishnah Torah, where the Torah reviews that which we learned earlier. The Gemara is telling us, why do you suffer five levels of Avelus? Al ozvum es toirasi, you forsook my Torah. Vibalt, we went ahead and forsook Sefer Bereishis, which is all about marriages. You get hit with the Shivasar B'tamuz, where you can no longer make chasnas. Vibalt, you went ahead and forsook Sefer Shemais, which is all about Simcha. You get hit with the second level of intensified Avelus, Mishenichnas of Mimatin B'Simcha. Because you went ahead and forsook Sefer Vayikra, which is all about Karbonos, you get hit with the third level of Avelus, Shvua Shechalboi Osur Ba'achilas Basar. Because you forsook the fourth level, that of Bamidbar, which is about the Membeis Masois, the travel of the Yid, you get hit with the fourth level that on Erev Tisha B'Av, you can't go for any pleasurable or joyous walk. And because you forsook Sefer Devarim, which is all about Mishnah Torah, the reviewing of the Torah, that represents Tisha B'Av, the Yemamisa itself, you can't learn. It's simple mathematics. Five levels of Avelus, perfectly correspond and correlate to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Because for every Sefer that we leave and we forsake, we get hit with another level of Avelus. The Tafkid and Matorah of the 3 weeks is for everyone on their own level to see, am I forsaking the Torah? Or what can I do to bring myself back to the ways of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah? Because one thing we can be assured, if the punishment is measure for measure, then the reverse is also true. When we lead our life by Sefer Bereishis, Shiv Osar, and Osar to get married will be a thing of the past. When we start clinging tenaciously to Shemois, we can forget about the fact that we have to diminish joy. When we start clinging tenaciously to Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim, the Isra of Achilas Bosar, of not going for a pleasure stroll, and feeling the death of not being able to learn, while Pekudei Hashem Yeshorim is Mesamchei Lev, that will all be a thing of the past. Maybe that's why the title for tonight is the Torah's approach and the Torah's outlook to these weeks. Because it's all about reversing the trend of the 3 weeks of having forsook the Torah and seeing what we could do to reconnect. Maybe that's the pshat that in the beginning of Eicha it says, Golsa Yehuda Me'oini. Now literally I saw some of the Svarim translated that Yehuda, Knesset Yisrael, went ahead and became exiled, and it says from their suffering, from their affliction. I'm not sure that I understand perfectly that translation. We became exiled and we went into Golus because of our suffering. The way I understand it is that when you're in Golus and when you're in exile, that's when you suffer. So what does it mean? We entered Golus because of our suffering. The Mefarshim tell us that the word Me'oni is not only to be read from our suffering, but Me'oni from poverty. I said this past Shabbos, there are a number of types of poverty. There's the poverty of the one that's the Gashmius, not taking care of those who so desperately need help. And then there's the poverty in Ruchnius, not caring enough about the Ruchnius, the Torah HaKdosha, and the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Maybe that's what the Megillas Eicha is telling us. Golsa Yehuda. You know why Knesset Yisrael went into Golus? Me'oni, from poverty. Because we simply did not care enough about the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. We didn't live by the ways of the Torah. And when you have poverty, in the realm of Ruchnius, that brings about Golsa Yehuda, that brings about Al Ozvam Es Teirasi, that brings about the five levels of Avelus. We have to care enough. If you take a look at the first Mishnah in Avos, it tells us, Moshe Kibol Torah Misinei, Mesor Li Yeshua, Yeshua, Zakenim, Zakenim, Levim, Nevim, Anshe Knesses Hagadayla, Zok De Ben Yehoyada, something mamish off the charts. Zok De Ben Yehoyada, take the first five people that are involved in the Mesora of Torah. You have Moshe, you have Yehoshua, you have the Nevi'im, you have the Zekanim, and you have the Anshe Knesses Hagadayla. If one takes the first letter of the five that I just mentioned, Anshe Knesses Hagadayla, Zekanim, Nevi'im, Yehoshua, and Moshe, it's Roshei Tevois Oznayim. A person has to be willing to listen. Zokta Ben Yehoyada, the reason there's such a difficult time with the Mesora, not only of Torah Shebaal Peh, but Torah Shebiksav as well, is because the Oznayim, maybe we hear it, but we don't understand and we don't comprehend. And if we're not willing to open up our ears, we're not willing to open up our Oznayim, Roshei Tevois, Anshei Knesses HaGadoyla, Zekanim, Nevi'im, Yeshua, and Moshe, there will never be a continuity. My father Zatzal used to always farteich the pasuk. This is one of the last divrei Torah he was zeichet to say in Eretz Yisrael before he was nifter, that it says about one of the dalet banim in the Torah, ki yeshalcha bincha machar lemar. Literally it means when he asks you tomorrow, you should answer. My father Zatzal said so beautifully, ki yeshalcha bincha, if your son will ask you and you're willing to listen and you take him seriously and you answer him, Machar, there will always be a tomorrow. If you want a tomorrow, and you want a hamshacha of the Mesora, of the Dairos, that only happens like the Ben Yehoyada says, if you open your Aznayim, and if a person is willing, ki yesholcha bincha, listen, if you're asked, maybe an answer needs to be given, Machar, there will always be a bright tomorrow. There's a Nifladika Maisa. Many, many years ago, somebody had moved to America, and by profession, he was a painter, not of just individual homes, but actually of very large complexes, apartments, condominiums, etc. And he was given an opportunity. He looked in the newspaper, and he saw that somebody was advertising to have a number of painters try out, and the one that was best and most successful would win the job of painting all the real estate this person had. He checked in the newspaper and he sees that the date for all of the painters to meet and to see how they'll perform is during the 9 days. The way I heard the Maisa is the following. He went to Reb Moshe and he said, I really want to shave. I feel more comfortable shaving. I want to go ahead and look presentable and to make a good impression on the person. It's the 9 days. Can I or can't I shave? Lakovid, this potential job offer, the job position, and he desperately needed it. Reb Moshe sits him down and he says, the lashon I heard was, he says, Bitzori Harav, that I'm going to answer you, but meaning I'm answering you with, of course, a tremendous amount of compassion and understanding for your situation, but be it as it may, it's osur to shave. You cannot shave. Now, I'm not mentioning this lahalacha, that everyone should come afterwards and ask me about particulars and this situation. I'm mentioning a Maisa Shahaya Kach Haya. And he said to Reb Moshe, can I go ahead? Reb Moshe said, no, for this, it's not acceptable. He goes home and he's fine with the psak, but as the days approach, and it comes during the 9 days, I suppose his Norelko was calling him just a little louder than he wanted, and it got the better of him. And an hour before his appointment, he's in front of the mirror, and he is shaving away. He has himself a perfect shave, and he goes to the appointment. From all of the painters, as wonderful as they are, he's the most outstanding, and he wins the particular job offer. He is thrilled. The boss who's about to hire him is thrilled. And on the spot, he writes him out a bonus check, a signing check of many thousands of dollars just for being the one who got the job. After everyone leaves and things quiet down, the doors close, he says to the fellow he just hired, I have to ask you one question. I have many, many real estate holdings and properties, and I have people like you, you know, Orthodox, I know they have the thing on their head, just like you, but the last couple of weeks they've gone around with a gruff look, they've had hair growth, they've had a small beard, and I've asked them why, and they told me they're in mourning, and they explained to me their temple they lost about 2,000 years ago, they're in mourning, they're sad. So I was just wondering, what's up with you? Because I notice you're clean shaven and you're one of them. So the man, of course, started shattering his teeth. He started coming up with every excuse, like we love coming up excuses, but it's batel b'shishim and it's cold, and I'll say it in Yiddish, and there's an Erev. He came up mit ala terutzim. And in the middle of the terutzim, the fellow took back his check, and he looked at the Yid, and in a very disappointed tone, he said to him, I'm so sorry, but if you can't be trusted with your own religion, how can I trust you with my buildings? That's really what the 3 weeks are all about. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to know if we can be trusted with the Torah HaKdoshah. What does it mean to us? Are we willing to change? Are we willing to let it have an impact on us to cling tenaciously to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, to once and for all remove these five funereal levels of Avelus? For it has been much, much too long. We have to be willing to listen Zokta Ben Yoyada with our Aznayim, and we have to be willing to change, be willing to answer, be willing to ask, be willing to listen, and only then will there be a Machar. And should one wonder if we have that ability, we know that in the 3 weeks people make the mistake and they say that there are 21 days. That's simply not true. In the 3 weeks, starting with Shavuot, which was a Sunday, and Tishu B'Av, which if we're not yet, unfortunately, if we are still in Golos and not yet in Eretz Yisrael, Tishu B'Av this year will be on a Sunday. That's 3 weeks, which is 22 days. Why is that imperative? Because these 22 days can change our mazel. At the end of Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov Avinu tells us Kindalach, and essentially he's telling Knesset Yisrael, Becha Yevarech Yisrael. Becha Beis Chof is of course the numeric value of 22. Becha, these 22 days, taking your religion seriously, being willing to listen to change, Yevarech Yisrael can bring blessing to Knesset Yisrael. In 22 days, there are 528 hours. For there are 24 hours a day. 24 times 22 is exactly 528. 528 sha'os. We know the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down built the Eish. It will be missing the Delosos. As the Medrash Eicha tells us, Tavu ba'aret she'areha. The doors were swallowed up, and it will be our tafkid and our job to bring up those doors and to open the doors. Of course, one opens the door, one is looking for the Mafteach. Mafteach is spelled Mem Pei Tov Ches, which is exact numeric value, the exact gematria, 528. That's Mafteach. These 528 Sha'os are the 528 that could bring about the Mafteach to the Delosos of the Beis HaMikdash. But the beauty is, should you think a Sha'a is an hour, Zokt Reb Tzadok, we know the Yesod that we are to view the meaning of something based on the first time it's used in the Torah HaKdoshah. Where's the first time that the word Sha'a is used in the Torah? When the Ribbono Shel Olam rejected the Karbon of Kayin, it says, Ve'el Kayin ve'el Minchosoi loy Sha'a. He didn't turn. You see that a Sha'a is a turn. Chazal tell us, yesh koina oilomoi b'shoa achas. It only takes one turn. That's all it takes. It's not something big. It's not something grandiose. It's not something that's out of our reach. Yesh koina oilomoi b'shoa achas. It's one turn. And enough of those turns that come together, enough people walking out and saying, we take Yiddishkeit seriously, and we realize we have to listen in order to change, enough of those sha'os will come together during these 22 days of the Chol Yevarech Yisrael to create the Mafteyach that has been so elusive and eluding us until now, that's the Mafteyach that we're looking for. We should talk of Bizoicha, enough people taking the symposium and taking learning and taking the 3 weeks seriously, like Ernst the Avelus. There are five levels of Avelus. It means realizing that buying an Eicha, buying a Kinnis, is buying a Chad Pa'ami, because I'm an Avelus now, but I can make a difference. I can make a change. All it takes is one Sha'a. It's sometimes that one commitment, that one turn, that one word, that one decision. Enough Sha'is coming together, and we should be Zoicha to see the days, not of Tovu Va'aret Sha'areha, but where those doors come up from out of the ground. We've provided enough Sha'is. We take the Torah HaKadosha seriously. We return to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and with enough Sha'is together, we'll be able to create that Mafteach to open the doors to the Binyan Bayis Shlishi, the Ezras Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi Shapiro. Now, there is Kyle. Rabbi Smelter.
Before I begin my remarks, I want to also express our heartfelt hakaras hatoyv. I see there's many members of Shari here who, once again, like Rabbi Naftali said, have opened the doors for us and they have given us the opportunity to be able to be marbitz Torah. And any Torah that's learned here, they have a chelik in. And tovei aleichem brocha. And a special thank you to my shvager for all that he does to facilitate this and for acquiescing to join us in the symposium. Everyone's wondering, symposium means questions and answers. And the questions and answers that you're wondering about why it's called a symposium, is those are the questions and answers that make it a symposium. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis paskens the following halacha, that the Yoim Dalid, this different Tanesim, and he brings a pasuk, and uncharacteristically, he starts telling us some mussar and some history, which is not the style of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainis, halacha Yutes, that all of these Tanesim, asidim li batal li mois HaMashiach, there's a chiyuv to fast these four Tanesim, but don't worry about it. When the Mashiach comes, we'll be over and done with. And not only that, asidim liyos yamim tovim v'mei simcha v'yehopich v'sasim v'simcha. Don't worry, it's going to be yamim tovim and sasim v'simcha. What's the pshat in this Rambam that goes off the track after he's telling us all the halachas in Yad HaChazokah, that he starts getting busy with the Musar and sort of reassuring us that it's not that bad? I want to try to understand this Rambam. To understand it a little better, I want to discuss a Tana Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was a Tana that the Gemara brings different incidents with Rabbi Kiva. And maybe once we understand Rabbi Kiva's behavior, maybe we'll be able to attain a Torah perspective on Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara at the end of Makkos, a very famous Gemara, says the following, that Rabbi Kiva and the Zakenim were together. They got to Har HaTzofim and they started tearing their clothing. It was a sight, a sad sight. They're looking for Mount Scopus and they look at Har HaBayis, the Churban of the Bayis. And when they get to Har HaBayis, they see a shul, they see a fox walking out of the sight of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they start crying. The accompanying Zakenim start crying. And Rabbi Kiva's laughing. And there's a conversation, why are you laughing? He says, why are you crying? They said, what do you mean? A place where only the Kohen Gadol could walk into once a year. And we have a fox and wild animals running around the Kodesh HaKadoshim where we shouldn't cry. And Rabbi Kiva says, L'kach ani mitzachek, that's why I'm laughing. Because Uriah HaKohen said a nevuah. And Zechariah said a nevuah. And that's the end of the words of Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara continues, what does Uriah HaKohen have to do with Zechariah? Uriah HaKohen was during the first bayis Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah was in the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, the Rabbi Kiva says the following, that as long as the nevuah of Uriah did not become fulfilled, I was concerned and I sort of doubted then maybe the nevuah of Zechariah will not be fulfilled. What's the nevuah of Uriah? Uriah says, Tzion biglalchem, Tzion sada techrash. Uriah says in nevuah that Yerushalayim will turn into a plowed field, destruction. And Zechariah says in nevuah that there will become a time that the old people will live in Yerushalayim and populate Yerushalayim and it will be rejuvenated. So says Rabbi Kiva, as long as the nevuah of Uriah about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash wasn't fulfilled, I was worried that maybe the rebuilding won't be. And what is the pshat in Rabbi Kiva? Why is he, and Rabbi Kiva says, and now that I see that the Beis HaMikdash is totally destroyed, I'm jubilant, because I know that the nevuah of Zechariah will be fulfilled, that it will be Oid Yeshua Zakenim Zakenis in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. What was Rabbi Kiva's doubts? Rabbi Kiva didn't believe in the nevuah. What's the pshat that he's connecting the nevuah of Uriah and Zechariah? We have to try to understand what Rabbi Kiva was laughing about, and what was his doubts about the connection of the two nevuahs. This is another Gemara. Rabbi Kiva visits his Rebbe. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Kishachola Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva's Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, when he became sick, his Talmidim came to visit him. And they're crying. And of course Rabbi Kiva's laughing. They say to him, why are you laughing? He says, why are you crying? And the Gemara continues. We want to try and understand why again Rabbi Kiva seems to be laughing, as my brother-in-law says, in such a funereal situation. What does that mean? Bad? What's the pshat that Rabbi Kiva's laughing when it seems to be incongruous with the appropriate behavior over there? And there's another maaser. Rabbi Kiva in Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, as he's taken out to be killed, and the Romans are being sirken as besorib b'masreka shel barzel, they're ripping apart his skin with metal combs, and he's happy. He's in ecstasy. This is the moment that he lived for. Masai lo yavel yavi v'kaimena b'chol nafshecha afilu neitelas nafshecha. I was waiting for the moment that I'm able to be din the Eibishter through Kiddush Hashem. And he's happy. Again, a seemingly inappropriate time to be happy. What's the pshat in Rabbi Kiva? And there's another Gemara. I have to thank the MC. He found this Gemara for me, Rabbi Lefkowitz. The Gemara in Bracha says that Rabbi Kiva was traveling and he came to a town and he looked for some kind of hospitality and they didn't give him. He was locked out of the city in the darkness of the night, in a deserted area, and he can't find a place. He has to sleep in a forest. And he says, don't worry, call the Avad Rachman Latav. And he has to sleep outside, chilled, alone, in danger. And the Gemara continues that he had with him a rooster, and he had with him a chamoyer, and he had with him a fire. And the fire got blown out, and the rooster got eaten up, and the chamoyer was gone. And he was happy. Once again, Rabbi Kiva is happy in a lousy time. What's the pshat in Rabbi Kiva's happiness? And the answer is, Rabbi Kiva had a very deep understanding of what the idea of tzoris are. We live in a time of tzoris. There's a big economic crunch. Gas prices, who knows where they're going? That's what they're saying, even though it's going down, I think. Gas prices, the economy. People are broken, suffering, everyone's short-selling, if they can. It's terrible times. We're worried about who's going to be the president. Lo yaleinu. The tzoris in Klal Yisrael, what just went on, there was a terrorist swapped for Nebuch. The tzoris, the sinner. We have to understand what's tzoris. Rabbi Kiva had an understanding of tzoris, and it's something that is the general line through all these mises in the Gemara. The idea of a tzorah. The tzara is something, it's a tremendous chesed. The choshech, the darkness, is a tremendous chesed. Because if not for the tzaras, we ourselves would have been taken away. So instead, the Rabbi Nishlam gives us tzaras to wake us up. And when we reach the depths of tzaras, the darkness of tzaras, that's where the seeds of geula come in. The geula begins at the end of the tzara, at the depth of the tzara. And Rabbi Kiva understood this. Rabbi Kiva understood that if the Tzion is Techra Sodeh, If the Kodesh HaKadoshim was just laying there, that's a tzara. But the animals are already walking around there. He understood it can't get worse. If it can't get worse, then we can learn our lesson finally. That means there's going to be Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't concerned. He believed that there's a Nevuah of Zechariah. He believed that it's going to happen. But he wants to know when. It's not that bad yet. But when he sees Uriah HaKohen's Nevuah being fulfilled, that's Shualim Hilchubay. Shualim are walking there. How much more Choshech could there be where the holiest Yid walks one time a year, a fox is walking there? It can't get worse. Now he's happy. Now he's laughing. Now he's jubilant. Because he knows this is the beginning of the Geula. Because in the lowest of the Choshech is where the Geula begins. Rebbe Kiva's laying outside in a forest, alone, in danger. His fire blew out. His protection blew out. His transportation was stolen or gone. It can't get worse. So he begins to become happy. It's going to be gevaldik. What happened? He woke up the next morning, the entire town was looted. Everybody was murdered. If he would have been taken in as a guest, he would have been killed. He understood the darkness of Choshech brings geula. That's why he was happy. He sees Rebbe Lozer HaGadol, his Rebbe, suffering. He knows that suffering, the Gadol HaDor should be suffering, the Gadol HaDor suffers for Klal Yisrael. It can't get worse. He's happy because he knows the geula is about to come. Something good is going to happen. He's being calmed, his basar b'masreka shel barzel. He's being martyred by the Romans. He's the happiest person. This is geferlich what's happening. Something good has to be happening. The opportunity to be mekadesh Hashem, that his neshama could finally separate from his goof, where it didn't belong in the first place. Be mekadesh Hashem shemayim b'rabim. Unbelievable opportunity. The tremendous Choshech brought him that opportunity. And that's what the Tzaras are all about. The Metzias in the Bria is like this. Someone takes a seed. Someone wants to plant something. He puts it in the ground. It doesn't begin to sprout till the seed totally disintegrates and decays. Once the seed decays and its mom is useless, that's when the plant sprouts. The Chofetz Chaim says, we're going to say in this week's Haftarah Taka, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Terem Tachil Yolada. When is the Leida, the biggest simcha in a person's life, the birth of a child? It's only following Chevle Leida. It's only after the biggest pains comes the biggest happiness. Choshech brings the Geula, and we have to recognize that. And that is the history of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchok was born after 100 years. When it's desperate, you don't think you're going to have a child. And you try everything. When it's at the bottom, that's when it starts. Yaakov Avinu was zeichet to Shvatim after he was totally liquidated by Eliphaz. After he was finished who knows how many years by Lavan. Then he was zeichet to Shiftei Kah. And that's the Mahalach throughout Klal Yisrael, Haman and Esther. It was only at the bottom, only after the Tzoras got to a point that it was unbearable. That's when the Geula begins. My brother-in-law said over the escalation of Avelus. Avelus begins Shavasa B'Tamuz. It's still bearable. You can take a swim. Rosh Chodesh, Shavuot Shechalboi. Erev Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av. And when we come to Tisha B'Av, there's nothing we can do. We're already limited in all the physicalities. So what happens? The height of Avelus is when? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed when? The Beis HaMikdash was burnt after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. That means this year, at about 1:30 p.m., when everybody already had his fill of kinnis. They're finished with kinnis already. They babbled enough words that they didn't understand. They came, they're sitting there anyhow, there's probably a program, and they're sitting on the floor uncomfortably trying to make do with some kind of milk crate that you sometimes isn't so comfortable. And 1:30, in the middle of the speech, everyone jumps up and gets onto a chair, finally it's over. And the Beis HaMikdash just starts burning. Does it make sense? This is the time that the Avelus should be, at this time, I don't know what else it could add to the Avelus. But this is the moment that Avelus should be at its deepest. Why are we relaxing off? Why are we relaxing the Avelis now? And the answer is, because the second that it reached the point that the Beis HaMikdash is getting burnt, the seeds of Geula are being sowed. Because the darkest time is when the Beis HaMikdash starts burning. And when you know that's happening, that's the biggest chesed. Because it could have been you. It's al eitzim v'avonim shafach ha-mosoi. Kina l'dovid, the Gemara says, Mizmor. We're thankful that he burnt the Beis HaMikdash and not us. And when he burnt the Beis HaMikdash, it was an eye-opener. And at that point, we were ready to finally listen, which we didn't. When we didn't listen to the Nevi'im for hundreds of years, Yeshaya and Yirmiyah, that they screamed and cried and begged. And finally, with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is the wake-up call, because we're at the bottom. Now we recognize what we've done wrong. Now we can sit up on a chair, because the Geula is beginning, even though the Beis HaMikdash is beginning to burn now. I think Rabbi Eliezer Lapian says a Meyudika Mashal. There's a painter, who paints wonderful paintings, and he chooses a site on top of a mountain, and he's copying, he's painting the scenery, and he's finally finished the painting on the tremendous canvas, and he starts backing up to view it to see if there's some kind of marks missing or something he should have done that he didn't do. And he's backing up, and he's viewing it, and he's going further back, and he didn't realize he's at the edge of a cliff. And he's about to go over the cliff, and some bystander sees what's happening, and he screams out to him, but he's on the other side, he can't reach him, he can't hear him. So he takes a rock, and he throws it through the canvas, and it gets ripped apart, a work that took hours and hours. And the guy stops suddenly. He's furious, someone ruined my canvas. And he sees behind him canvas he would have had maybe, but he would have been dead. Churban Beis HaMikdash, the choshech that comes with Churban Beis HaMikdash, is the Hatzolah. He takes the canvas and breaks it. But you wake up and realize you're about to fall off a cliff. That's the idea of the Churban, that's the idea of Tzaras, that's the idea of difficulties, is to wake you up and to spare you what could have been worse. And then you begin thinking what you've done. Then you begin reevaluating your life. And then the Geula could begin. Moshe Rabbeinu, he heard the tremendous tumult and dancing. It must have been like one of the chasanas nowadays with all that music and dancing. And he hears what's going on. And he's coming out with the luchos. And he knows that they're worshipping the ego. But he doesn't bother to break the luchos. He waits le'enehem. He waits for them to see it. They need to see the churban and feel the churban. And only then they can wake up. And that's what the churban is, to wake us up. And then the geula could begin. And I think that's the pshat in the Rambam that we began with. The Rambam is not just telling you a dvar musar. The Rambam is telling you the tachlis of a tainus. If the idea of a tainus means I have an extra 6 hours to shop and to do what I need to do, and yes, the Rav Shaila if you can take a shower on a tainus. If that's your tainus, you missed the boat. A tainus has to be a tzara. And if the tainus is a tzara, then you should know it's going to be mehapich l'sasin v'simcha. Because if the tainus is an emes tzara for you, and you feel the tzara, and you feel the event that you're commemorating, then the geula begins. And that's when it's going to be a yontiv that's going to be mehapach l'sasin v'simcha. The Rambam is not just telling you a story what's going to be historically. The Rambam is telling you half the fears of a tainus. And what's the tachlis of a tainus? The tachlis of a tainus is that it should become a yontiv. And it could only become a yontiv if you recognize what a tainus is. I once said over the following, and I don't remember if I said it as a mashal or a story, so take it how you want. There was a woman who didn't have children for many, many years. And finally she was zoicha that she became an expectant mother. And she had a very difficult expectancy, and she was laid up in bed. And it was very difficult, and she was very ill. It came a point in the later on into this, when she was getting closer to term, the doctors determined that she has to abort, or she has to forfeit her life for the benefit of the kid to be able to survive. So she had a choice in front of her. She's going to die, or the kid's going to die. And obviously they agonized. They went back and forth. They vacillated this, that. She finally decided, I live to have a child, and I'm going to die to have a child. And she has the child. The child's brought up without a mother. The child, every year, on his birthday, he fears Avelis. Every birthday is the yahrzeit of his mother. She dies by childbirth. By the birthday, he says Kaddish. He makes a suda. Maybe he sponsors a shir. And Anand, 2 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old, Kaddish, Nochamal Kaddish, and his halacha. And some people are talking, keep this halacha. Yen Shemes Payoviv. Fast on a day like that. He has a miserable birthday for many, many years. He hits 20 years old, he says, I'm sick and tired of this. I want to enjoy my birthday. And they tell him, Shaita Shabailam. The only reason you have a birthday is because of the Yartzeit. If you wouldn't have had this tzara of losing your mother, you wouldn't be here. And that's what we have to think about Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban Beis HaMikdash was a tzara that preserved Klal Yisrael. If it would not have been the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, it would have been Klal Yisrael destroyed. And the Churban Beis HaMikdash is a wake-up call. And every year we relieve the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban Beis HaMikdash doesn't have to look like a temple burning down. Churban Beis HaMikdash could be someone having drastic shalom bias problems, drastic economic problems, drastic any problems. That's your own Churban. And that Churban is to save you from worse. And you have to recognize that Churban by you. And you have to also recognize that the moment you recognize that Churban, that's when the Geula begins. May we be Zaycha this year to recognize the Churban, to recognize the Tzoras we're in, and recognize how excited we have to be that the Rebbeinu Shalom is looking over us to give us a personal tzara and to wake us up so that we should be zeicha to pick ourselves up, and Be'ezah Hashem we should be zeicha to Binyan Yerushalayim.